Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, guys, coming up, we're going to have a chance to talk to Ron Hunter in studio, Georgia State's head basketball coach. They're going dancing! NCAA tournament starts Thursday, and their first opponent is Houston. We'll get into that with him here in about 35 minutes on the program. You want to text us? You can. As always, get involved in the conversation. 404-741-0929 is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line.
Yeah, going round and round with a couple of folks that are saying we still got to be patient about Frank DeBoer, the manager of Atlanta United. Jason Longshore, if you missed it, he explained why we had Michael Parkhurst up front and guys all over the field and what was that all about. You'll hear that conversation, guys, coming up a little bit later in the 6 o'clock hour. But it was very frustrating. A lot of rumbling from United fans as we have not won a match yet and we've only scored 2 goals. So a lot of people upset about where this thing is right now. And the good news is we got a break internationally, so hopefully Frank can go figure out what he's got to do, because it's been nothing but a love affair with this team and the organization and certainly with our buddy Darren Eales, who joins us each week. But fans are really, really upset about where this thing is going right now.
Yeah, it's not because we lack talent. You know, I will tell you this. I would feel differently if we weren't good enough, you know, but that's not the case. And I think Atlanta United fans know that as well. So whatever needs to be figured out, Mike, we got to get it figured out. 2 weeks, I expect to see a different result. I just do. And Columbus is not going to be easy, but to lose to a squad last night that didn't have their best player on the pitch is pretty frustrating. And on top of that, to own the possessions as much as we did and not get as many shots on goal as we should have,
right. That's
frustrating. So whatever they're trying to do, and I say they as the organization, I'm not Frank DeBoer is the manager, but whatever they're trying to get accomplished is not working right now.
The good news is Barco has come out of whatever funk he was in. Barco has been electrifying the last couple matches, and the good news is Miles Robinson has been saving your cheese, doing some unbelievable things on a back line for United. But we're just not scoring goals. We're a team that scores a lot of goals. It's got a fun, exciting style. And as a fan, you know, I've been a soccer fan, Carl, about 12 years where I've been into it. This is the kind of soccer I used to not want to watch, to be quite honest with you. So I hope it not only we score more points, but also becomes aesthetically pleasing.
Well,
because we've been spoiled with a really fun brand of soccer.
Well, that's what brought people to the party. I mean, let's be honest.
Right.
You know,
you and I would not be. No. Now we were in on the ground floor from this with the Founders Club. But I mean, when you give you the kind of product that they've given us. And then to see what this is, it's like we're literally walking around in wet cement. It really does.
More about Atlanta United coming up, guys. Also, more on the Falcons as they decide to keep a tight end over the weekend that we weren't quite sure if they were going to keep him or not. That's part of our Falcon report. But right now, let's talk goals.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
As always, it's brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
BrightboxElectrical.com, man. Call those unshockingly good electricians at 770-901-2500. I had to laugh. I was just looking at us on the TV. We're now back to streaming the show on watch929thegame.com.
Oh, we are?
We look like it's about 20 degrees in the studio between the way you and I are bundled up in here.
It's all about moves, man.
You look like Nanook the North. You got your headphones outside your sweatshirt on your head.
I don't give a damn. It's all about mood. What are they going to do? Come on. I didn't even know we were going to be on camera today.
I mean, you look like I just picked you up from down at the MARTA station, man.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
Like you were selling pencils.
If you would have saw me last week, who was that Bo you told me I looked like with my skull scully on? Who did I look like? People were making fun of me.
You look like the dude from Walking Dead. The brother from Walking Dead. That's what you look like when you got your scully on, man.
So, yeah, if you want to go see us, great. See our big fat heads on the video screen, all right? Go check it out. It's 929thegame.com.
It's really not that cold in here. It's, as Carl said, it's the mood.
It's the mood.
United has killed our buzz today.
All right, man. As far as the dogs are concerned, guys, you know, spring practice, that's what's on tap. We are going to be at G-Day coming up. I think it's April 22nd. I believe that's the date for G-Day. But everybody else in the SEC is getting ready as well with spring practice.
April 20th is G-Day.
It's 20th? Okay, 20th. That's Saturday. But here's the thing. Is it national championship or bust for the dogs? And I have to tell you that it is, based on what they've done the last few seasons. But on top of that, Mike, they may have the best offensive line in college football. They've got a three-year now. It will be a three-year experienced quarterback in Jake Fromm. And a lot of quarterbacks in their third year excel. They take off. Mm-hmm. And when you talk to a guy like Aaron Murray, who said this as well, it's the year three effect. And Murray said, you know, the feeling before his third year at Georgia, starting at quarterback, it was familiarity. It was comfort. He said, and I think Jake Fromm is going to fall into this as well. And the numbers bear this out. When you look at guys like, and we're talking about college, okay, Jared Goff or Teddy Bridgewater or Matt Barkley, all these guys in their third year of college, the numbers went off the chart. I hope they allow Jake Fromm to throw the ball a lot more. But the point is this going to be the best year yet for Jake Fromm in year three for the Dogs? And if it is, it's promising.
Well, again, you got some turnover at some of your skill positions. You've got some different guys in the backfield to hand the football off to. But remember, he's already gotten Jacob Eason out of here, and he's already gotten Justin Fields out of here because of the way he plays. Now, it's not his fault that the coaching staff and some of the things and the way the circumstances turned out, but he had a chance to beat Alabama 2 years in a row. Certainly made the throws. You know, as a freshman, I thought certainly the expectations were kind of limited. Now we really do have high hopes for Jake Fromm. Like, if he wants to play in the NFL on Sundays, you know, there are some things I think which has to be tightened up. But what is this offense going to look like with Coley as the OC? We've been calling, at least you and I have not been big fans of Chaney. Well, he's gone now. Now, is this going to stunt or is this going to help this man? How is Fromm going to react to the new coaching?
It's a great point.
I mean, they're still going to run the ball, yes. Yin-yang, but, what, yes. But what, when the game is on the line, when the teams like LSU is throwing some stuff at you that you hadn't anticipated, how is Coley going to handle that?
Well, that's the thing. And for Fromm, you know, now you've been tested, right? You've seen the Alabama's defenses, the LSU's of the world, Florida's come at you. Your experience, there's not really anything that you haven't seen. Fromm has shown the ability. He did it in the Rose Bowl to change a play and turn it into a touchdown by reading and seeing what the defense has. I think this has the potential to be a great year for Fromm. But the thing is, Mike, is he going to get the recognition through throwing the football to maybe get some of that buzz about maybe a Heisman? Now, I know that's not what his concern is, but I'm telling you, that always helps the drive when you talk about the program and the recognition their quarterback's getting. Fromm hadn't had that the last couple of years. We've heard from Tua Tagovailoa. He'll be back this year. People are talking about, you know, the guy that transferred and Hurts, obviously, at OU, who'll be throwing it around. But I think Fromm should be getting that same kind of buzz because year three is when guys really elevate their game.
So certainly, guys, run the football. You know the style. You know what they're going to be about. Defensively, more experience. Now, pass rush for Georgia was a thing last year. You know, sustained pass rush.
There were
a lot of similarities with the Falcons in that sense. So getting after the quarterback, seeing what they're going to do in that department. You know, you're always going to turn over guys, but you're also bringing in these tremendous five-star recruits. You had the number one and now the number two recruiting class. So it's not as something as a Georgia fan. You're going to fret. I've heard some really good things about some of the linebackers, some of the defensive ends. So now it's time to put it to work. Practice begins this week.
Yeah, it does. It's our Dog Report brought to you by our friends at Brightbox once again.
BrightboxElectrical.com, 770-901-2500. For all things electrical, get a generator, man, so you never lose juice. Call him today.
What else is going on around the SEC? Tua Tagovailoa. Listen to this. So his first year, he had Brian DeBall as his offensive coordinator. Last year, it was Mike Locksley, who's now at Maryland. This year, he gets Sark. And he was asked about it, Mike, and he said, you know, it's good to see him talking about Sark. He was asked about his relationship. He said Sark actually offered him a scholarship when he was at USC. And he said, USC was my dream school. Remember, kids from Hawaii. So he was like, I wanted to go to USC, watching USC all those years. He said, and I'll forever be grateful for that. But the person he is, talking about Steve Sarkisian, he's a good guy. He's a relationship person in the quarterback room with not only me, but everyone in there. And it's real easy learning environment. Okay. There's been no fall off, and you keep saying it to me. Like at some point, right? When does this happen? Alabama continues to lose, experienced coordinators.
Now, the one thing that we talked about, especially leading up to the championship game this last year, was you lost a wide receiver to Clemson, and he stuck it up your hanky in the national championship game because that was one of those instances. There was a relationship with an assistant coach, and then he left, and so Clemson was able to gobble up that talent. So that's always going to happen. It happens to Georgia. Georgia's not going to get everybody from the state, but Georgia's now continuing to get people from everywhere, which is what you have to do to be that number one team. You know, certainly with the with the Georgia Bulldogs, man, it's not that complicated, Carl. Just finish. Is Kirby, what has Kirby learned from these past two seasons? Because remember we had that – was it Dan Wilkin that ranked all the coaches? And some Georgia fans were going bananas that he wasn't ranked higher. No, wasn't who was it? Who was the
– Bruce Feldman.
Bruce Feldman did it in his column. But, I mean, there's a reason why some people don't think of Kirby as the elite coach yet, because he hasn't finished it, hasn't brought it home.
Yeah.
I mean, there's great things in every other department, recruiting we just talked about. But you've got to – when you've got Alabama on the ropes, and it's not going to be this cakewalk every year to win the SEC East. You know, some Georgia fans can laugh when we talk about Dan Mullen and the Florida Gators, but they're getting better. And Tennessee's not going to be an easy out now.
No.
That's the reality. South Carolina isn't South. I'm not worried about Muschamp. No one is. But when it comes down to it, Florida's going to be the guys. They're going to keep you out of that SEC championship game potentially.
Speaking of the SEC West and Alabama, Auburn's got to figure out their quarterback situation and who's going to take the reins there. They got a bunch of guys, whether it's Joey Gatewood or Malik Willis, Bo Nix. There's a bunch of guys that are competing. But, Mike, what about the OC job? Because here's what I want to know. Is Gus going to back away and let his OC really call the plays? Here we are now, you know, with a situation that it was kind of contentious there at the end of the season. Remember when everybody's like, well, what's he going to do? He can't fire this guy. He's going to be his own guy. Well, there is a guy there, Kenny Dillingham, who's there. I want to see what Gus does with the as far as the OC position. Is he still calling the plays, or does he back away?
Well, what do Auburn fans want? I mean, there's how many guys are still lukewarm over that contract extension after getting beat by UCF? Yeah, we thought Sidham was going to be the difference maker, but really, I don't know how much of this is about the offensive line or what. Where's that big run game? Where's that dominant Auburn run game, which takes the pressure off Sidham, which you thought that was going to be the recipe for success? You and I actually had him as a dark horse to win the division going into last season, and that run thing just never really materialized the way Auburn fans expected to.
No, it didn't.
Hey, meanwhile, guess who got himself a nice contract extension?
Who?
Well, I don't. You do a much better Coach O than I do.
Of course I did.
Coach O, pending board approval, Ed Orgeron is going to have his contract extended by 2 seasons.
Why?
And pick up an extra $500,000.
Why?
Each season to coach in Baton Rouge. Ed is, he's beloved by some. Mostly, I think most people are confused by what he's saying. So I don't get it either.
Oh, it's down. You can use Isaiah.
I don't understand why you would give him a contract. Where's he going? Who's stealing Ed Orgeron away?
Nobody.
This is the same thing that Georgia Tech did with Josh Pastner after the first year. Hadn't shown you anything. You went to the NIT. Whoop-de-doo.
What did LSU?
Why extend him?
What did LSU? Well, seriously, and I get it. He's recruiting well. I understand that. What did they win?
Well, it's a 10-win season.
Whoop-de-doo! Whoop-de-doo! Give me three of those.
Well, beat Georgia.
Give me three of those.
The Texas A&M game is still being played, by the way. That was unbelievable, that
it was.
Game. But you lost that game.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I see this, and, you know, coaches, Mike, we went to the wrong profession. Coaches get your money.
Right.
You can win 10 games, you can be mediocre, and you get contract extensions.
Well, now, again, the board has to meet on Wednesday in Baton Rouge.
Oh, you know they're going to do this. They're going to fire their basketball
and
coach.
They'll be saving there. Ed will be extended to 2023. By the way, remember when the NCAA would have said, you're out? LSU's in, including one of the disputed players, by the way, playing on the squad into March Madness.
Well, of course they are.
NCAA has got no balls,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the coach is like, I want to coach my team.
Yeah, shut up, coach. See you in the Greek League.
Yeah, I just didn't listen, and I know it's LSU fans are listening like, man, you guys are hating. No.
No, we both love Coach Ed. They do have a quarterback. I mean, well, kind of.
Go Tigers.
So certainly the one thing which has kept LSU out has always been, let's be honest, is quarterback play.
How much is his raise?
$500,000.
A lot of money.
Yes, it is. Each season,
crawfish.
By the way, on this extension. It's a lot of crawfish, Ed. Well, don't you like the chicken fingers at the gas station, right? That's your thing.
Yeah, and that Red Bull.
Like off the Red Bull, coach.
Did you guys ever hear that story where he drinks like 12
yes.
Red Bulls a day or something like that? No, seriously. It's a true story. It is Duke's.
I mean, that's a lot of caffeine, man.
Oh, my God. No, man, but I like Coach O. Yeah, you just got to win. Can you win win your side of the division before we start giving you an extension?
It's what everybody else has to deal with. Alabama. Alabama is that gorilla. I mean, no one's getting past Alabama anytime soon. You just asked me about the coaching turnover.
Yeah.
You know, Tua's still back there for another year. You know, we have a friend you've heard us mention over the years, Corey Miller. His son Christian's going to be in the NFL draft. You know, and that kid was a 5-star. And he had like one or two seasons where he was impactful. He was injured a lot. But they've got 4 guys in that position. Even though the year they had all the linebacker injuries, they can still plug in more guys. And that's the way it works. That's the way it should be for Georgia as well. By the way, Joe Burrow, we've talked a lot about. It's his job. Maybe he gets to be more confident and they get a little more vertical in the passing game. Although that's really not what Ed wants anyway.
No. It's not. By the way, Florida announced that the Auburn game will be their homecoming opponent in 2019. Bo, did you see this? With Florida?
Yeah, I did.
They thought that was a good idea.
Yeah, UF is set to host Auburn on October 5th.
You hear that, Auburn? You're a homecoming opponent.
Yeah, so the game is sandwiched between a cupcake on September 28th and then the LSU game on October 12th. That's Florida-Auburn. So we'll see. That's interesting, though, that they made that
War Eagle as a homecoming opponent.
Yeah.
Well, it's not high school football, okay? I mean,
it's still a big deal, Bo.
I'm sure it is, but they also get an extra bye this year, too, remember, because they start off
You mean they
August,
cried. They
August
cried a
24th.
Lot.
Yeah, the Miami game got pushed up a week, so difficult for Miami and Florida fans because now, I mean, geez, who's gonna run the window tinting business?
All right, real quick, before we wrap things up, Jimbo, are they going to make some noise? They're going to make some noise. Now, spring ball starts, guys, and we're keeping an eye out on everybody in the SEC. It's just hard because traditional SEC folks – you still see Texas A&M as one of these schools that, again, you even really, really consider them to be a part of the SEC. I don't know if you believe in what Jimbo's doing. I'm going to tell you this. My friend's back in Texas, Mike. Mm-hmm. He's killing the recruiting scene. Killing it. And now Tom Herman had a great recruiting class for Texas, but A&M, they're getting all the kids they want to get right now, and you know Jimbo still has those ties to Florida when he was down there in Florida State.
Right.
I just think that this might be a coming out year for them. And they play at Georgia, by the way. That could be a premier primetime game late in the season.
Well, for, you know, a guy that grew up where you grew up in San Antonio, Kellen Mond. You know, and what is he going? Is he going to continue to develop? Because Jimbo's system is complicated. Now, for all the things you want to, you know, guys will take shots at Jameis Winston over the years. But it is a complicated pro-style offense that Kellen Mond's going to probably be more familiar with. So probably more things coming out of that game that Jimbo's going to be asking him to do.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. Only reason we're talking about it, obviously, a dog report, spring football, Jake Fromm. How does he elevate his game in year three? It's something a lot of people will be talking about. But you're right. They're going to rely on that run game and set up the pass game. If he's efficient, the numbers will be there for Jake.
And, you know, it's a shame. You and I have always talked about Isaac Nata. He probably should have stayed in school. We talked to a number of scouts last week, if you guys missed those conversations. And everybody's saying that, you know, the Georgia players, it's, you know, it's good to put guys in the NFL, but DeAndre Baker, not as high as he thought he was going to be. Their pro day is coming up in, is it tomorrow? Georgia's pro day, Squid?
Wednesday
for the Georgia Bulldogs. So Isaac Nata and DeAndre Baker and everybody else has a chance to impress all the NFL scouts. I'm sure that Dan Quinn, Thomas, everybody will be there from the Falcons.
All right, guys, who may miss opening day and who's going to be their opening day for the Braves? It's next on Dukes and Bell.
This is Jim Rome with the CBS Sports Minute, sponsored by Farmers Insurance. Stay ahead of the game. Find an agent at farmers.com. Lakers v. Knicks at Madison Square Garden yesterday, and let me just say, there were no winners. The Knicks won the game, but really, it's a loss because they're only 2.5 games ahead of Phoenix for the worst record in the association. As for the Lakers, it's a loss, and it's an even worse loss because it came against the Knicks. And at this point, there really is not that big of a difference between the Lakers and Knicks, except for one thing. The Knicks have a good chance of signing one, if not two, premium free agents. That's right, the Knicks, who've been a complete and utter train wreck for decades and have some of the most dysfunctional ownership in all of sports, are a more attractive free agent destination than LA is right now. The season has gotten so bad for LA that losing to the Knicks is not embarrassing. It's pretty much expected. I'm Jim Rome.
At Farmers Insurance, we know every windshield collision has a unique sound. Beetle. Bird poop. Drone. Seen it? Covered it. Talk to Farmers.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, Exchanges and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.
We alarm our houses. And we alarm our cars. But when it comes to your personal information, it can be tough to know when something isn't right. That's where Discover Card can help. Now, we'll send you an alert if we find your social security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. And this service is free for card members. Just sign up online. It's our way of looking out for you, not just your account. Learn more at discover.com/free alerts. Limitations apply.
You might not be able to get a new car with your tax refund, but you can make it feel like it's brand new. All it needs is a great paint job. Come into Maaco today and get your dream paint job during their tax season sales events.
Now, your Game Time Traffic.
I'm LaRisha Harris from your Game Time Traffic Center. This report is sponsored by Georgia Aquarium. We are getting reports of some fire activity, Central Avenue westbound at I-75. Medical emergency has shut down two right lanes, so expect delays in that area. Concord Road has reopened at the covered bridge Road after a U-Haul hit the beam on the Mableton side, so you should be good to go if you're in that area. Now at Georgia Aquarium, you can get up close and personal with California sea lions. Go behind the scenes and interact with these charismatic animals while learning more about the aquarium's conservation initiatives. Book yours today at georgiaaquarium.org. From your Game Time Traffic Center, I'm LaRisha Harris on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey guys, Mike Bell here for Brightbox Electrical. You've heard me yapping about these guys for 3 years. A lot of you guys have seen the results yourself, whether it's doing ceiling fans in the man cave, whether you're throwing TVs outside. I mean, not throwing them out on your front lawn, but having them installed next to your barbecue pit. They got some really cool stuff for your home. Customized, tailored to what you want, or they can come up with some ideas on their own. Call them today, 770-901-2500. 770-901-2500. They do great work, and they do it quickly, too. Got all my stuff done in a day, and I've got the flat screens nice and clean with no wires and cables sticking out. Looks really cool. Now, again, if you want to go do the man cave, you can do that. But maybe for your place of business, you want to do video conferencing. Maybe you want to spruce up your waiting room and throw some new TVs in there. Call the guys today, 770-901-2500. 770-901-2500. And for residential guys, they're going to waive that $79 service charge when you mention me, Mike Bell, the name that means value, and the game. Call them today, 770-901-2500. If you've been thinking about doing some home security or home monitoring tailored to your needs, you're not going to overpay, it's great. They can do that for you, too. Call Brightbox today, 770-901-2500.
You want to win a pair of tickets to go see Travis Scott live in concert? He's going to be at State Farm Arena on Friday, March 22nd. Don't miss seeing Travis Scott, Astroworld, Wish You Were Here tour. Travis Scott tickets are currently available at LiveNation.com. Hey, we're going to talk some Braves coming up. Real quick, Mike, I got to tell you this story. Yesterday, I invited Bo out to play some golf. And Bo,
oh, God. You know what you're getting into, right?
I had no idea. Bo came. He met me out at a course, Eagle Watch, up in the north part of town. And he did something yesterday I never thought I'd see. Real quick before we get to the Braves. Bo went driver on a par three.
Yeah, he does that. I don't play a lot of golf with Bo, Squidbilly, Bo Morgan. Now, we have our podcast now. Our Formula One podcast will be coming back on Wednesday talking about the Australian Grand Prix. And I would much rather talk racing with Bo than ever have to play golf with him.
Who goes driver off a par three?
How about adjusting for your slice? I mean, most people will try to figure out how to not slice.
Yes.
He opens up his stance like Wade Boggs. He literally is facing towards 9 o'clock, if it's o'clock, and the ball literally will go 100 yards from left to right. And he gives up about 100 yards off the tee doing that.
Yes, he does. This par three.
I can't watch it.
I must say, I don't know. It was 170 or something like that, right? And so it's across water. And Bo says to me, I'm going driver.
Don't keep it dry, man.
And I said, well, you're going to go driver. So I think I hit, I don't know, 6-iron or whatever it was. I'm short, right on, you know, almost on the green.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be damned, Mike. He hits the driver just what you said. His body is turned the opposite way, and the ball. Curves back around. He literally overshoots the green just by a little bit. But he goes driver on a par three. Who does that?
By the way, Squid, I'm just saying you got to get lessons. I know lessons suck. I hate lessons. But you got to find – go call our buddy Brian. Go call Katrick and go get some lessons because you can't stop hitting the ball like this.
First off, since I've played with you last, which has been a while, I have mastered my own swing.
It's pretty good. I got to give him credit.
I even outdrove Carl a couple of times. Yeah.
Wow.
Swings
on plane, huh?
But secondly, look, I didn't go full swing with the driver off the tee on the par three. I went like a quarter swing.
Oh, okay. So you didn't hit a hybrid. Shot. You went driver, though. You couldn't just hit a hybrid over the water. That'd be almost acceptable. You hit like a four wood.
Exactly.
You
know what
I mean? Look, I went with what I was comfortable, and the result didn't work out too badly for me.
No, it did not. And I told him that. I said, you know what, Bo, do you. Do whatever makes you feel comfortable.
Speaking of unorthodox swings, it was really cool to see Jim Furyk at age 48 on the leaderboard for a couple of holes until St. Patrick's Day of all days.
Rory
gets it cooking. Rory McIlroy wins $2 million in change in the Players' Championship. Tiger, he had a nice start to his final round and kind of cooled off. But John Rahm, one of my favorite golfers, boy, he was hot garbage yesterday.
He went into it with the lead, didn't he?
Yeah, he was tough. More balls in the water at the Island Hole 17 than they've ever seen before because it's now in March. The wind was really kicking up. So if you enjoy watching the pros looking like schmoes, you got to see that on the Island Hole at TPC Sawgrass.
Interesting, man. Let's talk some Braves, guys. Opening day's right around the corner. We find out that A.J. Minter and Darren O'Day will likely open the season on the injured list. This is what coming from Brian Snitker, and certainly that's not good news. The Darren O'Day was a guy that I was counting on, Mike. He's a back guy as far as the back half.
He's a setup man, bullpen. Yeah.
And he was a guy that we got in the trade with Gausman, and nobody really talked about it because he was injured last year. He brings a lot of experience.
He knows what he's doing. And I said, this will be great, all right, for our bullpen. Well, he's not going to be able to start the season. And then Mentor, remember, I think he saved 15 games last year.
Right. So we got bullpen by committee. We just heard from our buddy Mark Bowman, and also our buddy Dave O'Brien had this too from The Athletic, and Mark writes for MLB. Folty and Soroka take another step towards being cleared to pitch in games, but they're not going to be ready. They might not be ready to go until middle of April. So, I mean, I understand. It's one thing, guys, if you subscribe to that theory, you're going to take everything that, you know, Alex told us. Alex Anthopoulos joined us last week, that he has so much confidence in the young guys, and that's all fine and good. Because we got six or seven guys out there that, you know, at some point have to validate being acquired and go crack the starting rotation. But you don't have enough bodies right now. I've said it for a couple of weeks. The Yankees, and I don't know if the Yankees have passed on Gio Gonzalez. He basically is what Anibal Sanchez was for you last year. Why don't you get a guy to eat some innings and do it on the front end? Because by the time these young guys are apparently ready to go, which is a red flag in and of itself, Carl, you might be in a hell of a hole because the whole NL East has gotten better while you picked up Josh Donaldson. That's it. I know Brian McCann is here. I get that, guys. But you need another arm. You need another arm. Don't you?
You do. We've been seeing it all spring. Here's Snicker talking about we need our young arms. And the young guys have certainly, some of them at least, have proven themselves. We find out today that Julio Teheran's going to be the opening day starter, sixth consecutive season. Here's Brian Snicker.
So you need that depth. And I told the guys, like, somebody you might all not go north with us, but you're going to pitch here. We're going to need them all. You know, that's the thing. I mean, you try and get as many guys stretched out as you can. Because as we saw, we used 33 pitchers last year. 10 guys made their major league debut on our staff last year.
Stretch him out, Nick.
Well, Folty, I mean, like, he's got some issues with the soreness. Newcomb keeps walking guys. So now that means Kyle Wright, the only guy who really looks sharp. If you want to take one guy, I'd say over the total of it, it would be Kyle Wright and then Tukey. Bryce Wilson, Max Fried. I mean, okay. I hope that you're scoring 9 runs a game, Carl, because you might need it.
Here is Kyle Wright, the guy you mentioned, talking about competing against his other pitchers.
We got some really good arms in this organization that have pitched really well this spring, too. So I think it's kind of fun for all of us just to kind of go out there and compete and watch each other do well. You know, I think they were all on the same team, and we all want everyone to do well.
But when we're talking about all these injuries, man, and the fact that Soroka can now finally throw batting practice today. Okay. There's things, guys, I get it. We are prone to hyperbole in sports talk radio. We're going to have some fun. Like, Frank DeBoer is the worst manager. This guy's this or this guy's that. Here's the reality.
Hold on. Wait a minute. That's... Right now, it's not that far off.
That's not hyperbole.
I'm just saying. Okay,
but,
go ahead.
But the reality is, it's not my money. It's our money. We're all, yeah, it is my money. I bought enough tickets last year over the 9 Braves games. I ate enough meals right over there in the Battery. I'm helping to pay down the debt. Go get another pitcher. That's what that guy said.
Yeah, that's what Mike said
earlier. The guy mangling
earlier.
The English language, that's what he said.
Let's hear from Kyle Wright about Folty, because he said, listen, I'm not stressing about this. The Folty situation, it's okay.
No, not really, because, you know, I know Folty's going to be back, and we're going to need him anyways to win some games for us, because, you know, he's obviously an unbelievable talent. So for me, it's just, you know, day by day, try to see what I can do to be better.
Bryce Wilson on the bump against the Yankees tonight, as Mike told you in the update. So he's pitched effectively enough, according to Mark Bowman from MLB, to be considered a guy that could make it on this team, as Snicker just referred to, when they head north.
Yeah. I've always been concerned going into the spring, at least, with the bullpen, and I kept keeping my fingers crossed that they were going to do something. I'm still concerned.
How about Dansby? Watch. Ozzie Albies got a chance to play shortstop the other day. You see that? Dansby, meanwhile, pair of singles. He's 4-for-12 against lefties, but he's gone hitless in 4 at-bats against right-handers.
Well, let's hear from Dansby Swanson.
I think at the end of the day, what made us so successful last year and what's going to help propel us to where we want to get to this year is we're the only thing that matters. And when I say that is we value what our team thinks and what we believe, because as soon as you start getting caught up on everything that's said outside, you know, these walls, that's when things start to break down.
Okay. Now, the good news is, as bad as Julio Teheran has been batting practice at SunTrust Park, he is pretty good. On the road is our buddy Cleet Holmes, just hit us up on Twitter. You can follow us at Put Him Up C Dukes. I'm Mike Bell, ATL. And our Salmon Brothers Diamond text line is back at 404-741-0929. But a lot of guys a little concerned about pitching. Who'd have thunk that Julio Teheran, after not being in the postseason roster, is going to be your starter for the 6th time in a row, as you mentioned earlier, tying Warren Spahn?
Yeah. I just think their hand is forged here. And you said it. They're not going to throw Kyle Wright out there. You know, they maybe have some other options. This makes the most sense, even if some of us disagree with it, because you feel like, you know, the way Julio has performed over the last season or so, mm-hmm. and how inconsistent and ups and downs he's had, this is, makes the most sense for where we're at with the Braves. So, you know, we'll roll with it. You said it. Maybe our lineup comes up big as we get the season started. I just don't want us to get behind the eight ball in this division. And all of a sudden, you know, Mike, we got off to a great start last year. And it's a big reason why we were to maintain the pace we did over the course of the season. Philly's going to be, you know, interesting. I'm not going to tell you they're going to win it. They still have to beat us. But this is a big part of it, man, is having your starting pitching ready to go.
But the thing, guys, over the years, you know, you were here for the rebuild, and we were all watching all the moves. Every year the Braves would make a move. Even going back to when it was Coppola, we'd pick up pitching, right? Well, one of the guys you picked up was Sean Newcomb. Listen to these numbers during spring training. 12 innings pitched, 10 walks.
Mm.
That's a problem. You know, that's supposed to get better. You know, Faulty, he's got soreness, so we just told you he might have to be on, not on the DL, who knows, but it's going to be a little bit later before he finally gets the throw. You know, you got guys that, I love Soroka. Soroka looked awesome last year, then he hurt his arm.
He did.
Or his back or whatever it was. So, to me, if you're even the most dyed-in-the-wool Braves fan who believes everything and drinks all the Kool-Aid that corporate sells you at Liberty Media, how do you not think you don't need more pitching help right now with a couple of guys still out there that's going to cost you some money?
Our manager, Brian Snicker, says, Mike, we still expect to win.
And now we expect to win. We're expected to win. And, you know, somebody asked me about that, and it's like, so we've been working towards. You know, we've been grinding this thing for the last 4 or 5 years trying to put ourselves in this position.
Snicker, we love you, man. You did a hell of a job. But you build on this success. You don't just stand pat. You won the division, Carl. Let's build on it.
He's not cutting the checks, though. You're right. I mean,
it's that Terry McGuirk guy.
He's not cutting the checks. I think, listen, if you ask Snick, hey, go cut a check or two and go get the guys you want, he would. He's not doing that. He's got to give. He's got to whatever management gives him is what he's got to work with. That's where he's at. So he's like, listen, this is what we're going to deal with.
See, that's what I'm doing. Two teams now, Braves and United. These animal noises on a Monday. Told you I was salty.
Hey, guys, coming up, we're going to talk to Ron Hunter, head basketball coach at Georgia State. He's set to join us in studio. We will talk about Coach getting back to the NCAA tournament. It's exciting times, man. It is. It's just a shame, and we're not taking anything away from Georgia State. But it's a shame that we're not talking about the Dogs, or for that matter, Georgia Tech, Mike, being in this tournament.
I know that State fans don't want to hear it, but we love the idea. Imagine giving Ron a chance to coach at one of the bigger programs. The man just gets the job done. There's one winner in town. His name is Ron Hunter.
Now, your game time traffic.
I'm LaRisha Harris from your Game Time Traffic Center. This report is sponsored by the Atlanta International Auto Show. You're pretty jammed around the perimeter as we continue your afternoon commute. A few trip times for you. If you are on 285, starting on the west side from the southwest corner, 85 up towards 75, that'll take you about 23 minutes. On the top end now, you're looking at a 27-minute ride from 75 eastbound towards Spaghetti Junction. And now on the east side, heading southbound, you're looking at a 29-minute ride from Spaghetti Junction down toward I-20. They're coming Atlanta. Hundreds of spectacular new cars, trucks, and SUVs from over 24 manufacturers. The Atlanta International Auto Show, Atlanta Spring Thing, this Wednesday through Sunday, Georgia World Congress Center. For more information, visit GoAutoShow.com. From your Game Time Traffic Center, I'm LaRisha Harris on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
5 seconds to go. Chisholm dribbling into the front court up to James Wall. Wall gets fouled as the buzzer sounds. That's your ball game here in New Orleans. Georgia State has beaten UT Arlington 73-64, and the Panthers are going dancing for the second consecutive year. The Panthers are headed to the NCAA tournament, the fifth in program history.
That was the call by Dave Cohen on WAOK yesterday. And joining us in studio is the guy behind it all, Ron Hunter, head basketball coach at Georgia State. Congratulations, coach.
I appreciate that. I know I've done something well because you guys invited me in, man. I know when it's that time of year. When I get an invitation to come in here, that I've done something pretty good. So I'm happy to be here.
And you're for winning the Sun Belt, we give you a six-pack of Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale. Congratulations, coach.
Oh, there it is. That's yours.
Man, it's probably the best thing I've gotten all day.
Let's talk about another run at this thing. We said it all season long, and for those who are not aware, Coach Hunter, we have the privilege of visiting with him each and every week here on the show. And, you know, when the season started, man, it was kind of like, okay, we're getting this thing going, and then we got to a stretch where, you know, sometimes we felt like, all right, is the team as focused as it needed to be? And you kept saying, hey, if we play defense the way we need to play, mm-hmm. we're going to be where we need to be. Was that the case yesterday as well?
Man, that was the case for the entire weekend. We were probably the best two games back-to-back that I've been coaching for 30 years that we played defensively. I mean, it was lights out. I mean, I don't care who we would have played this weekend. We were just flying all over the place. Offensively, I'll be honest with you, probably two of the worst that we had all year. But we were so good defensively and so focused that, again, I don't think it would have mattered. Our kids were really locked in. You know, I talked to you guys earlier about the process of trying to get there, especially when you got a veteran team. And sometimes you kind of go through that little rocky road. But, you know, with all of us said, we still won the league and we still won a conference tournament and we're still going to the NCAA tournament. So everyone's excited. Everything happened. You know, all the pressure, all the stuff, all the bullseye and all that.
Right.
In between there, we beat some good teams. Alabama beat Georgia. And so we're excited, ready to go.
Now, we're going to say the RPI was actually high enough where you might even have had a chance for a play-in game if you didn't win the Sun Belt. Because you have those out-of-conference games, you help the kids? I mean, confidence, how many guys have experience and know what it takes in this tournament?
Yeah, you know, that's a big thing. I think last year when this group went in, I think they thought they could beat Cincinnati, but I don't think truly they believed it. You know, and mm-hmm. so you get in the game and all of a sudden 4 minutes to go and it's a two-possession game and we couldn't make a shot. That same team's coming back, but we're better. Mm-hmm. And so and now we're playing a Houston team, which is really in the same league as Cincinnati. So I think we'll be a lot more ready. The experience of that with this group will help us. And, you know, because last year that group, we didn't have the RJ group. So those guys were gone. So now going back-to-back, I think this team's ready to play. And we got a good team. There's no question, you know, that we're going to play a good team. Kelvin's doing a great job with Houston. Well-coached. They got athleticism. They can really shoot it. But, you know, we'll have that little chip on our shoulder and be ready to play.
What are you telling Simons in this situation? I asked you this last week. You said, I only need him to get me, you know, 35, 10, and 10. But how do you get everybody on the same page? We need him to play well, mm-hmm. but we need everybody else to elevate their game as well. How do you approach that, Coach?
Well, and that's what they're doing. I mean, our other guys are definitely elevating their game. You know, you got to remember, everything that happens in Georgia State basketball, the focus point is him. The scouting report's on him. Let's stop him. Let's put two or three guys on him. And he's doing a great job of actually, you know, there were three or four times actually he could have shot it, but he threw the ball to Malik. Mm-hmm. And because Malik had a great game, he ended up being the MVP. And so everybody talks about, well, what's wrong with DeMarcus? But DeMarcus is making unbelievable
plays.
Making
the right plays.
He's making the right plays. Yeah. And so for us to win sometimes, he might only have to get 15. But get six assists and six rebounds, and now we can win the game. See, what happened with us when we played Cincinnati, he gets 30, but we lose the game because no one else is there. That's why we're a better team this year. We got five guys averaging double figures now. So he doesn't have to have that monster game for us to win in the tournament.
You were a 14 seed. You took out Baylor, by the way, back in the day, as Ron Hunter's live in studio.
How can we forget that, Mike Bell?
And you were a 14 seed, again, going up against a 31-3 Houston team. Are the pairings, we talked about this off the air, are they overrated? Is it more for us to talk about on the radio, or how even are all these teams?
Yeah, you know, I love the media, but that's just a media thing, man. I think seeding is you know, especially, even sometimes I hear coaches mad because of their seed. There's 68 teams going to the tournament. They're all good. I mean, you know, I mean, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. You know, you got good teams. Just go play and win. All that seeding talk, all that other crazy. Sometimes, you know, I love my business, but sometimes coaches get caught in this vortex or something, and they feel like they got to just say, oh, well, you know, we should have been our better seed. Shut up and just go play. You know, that's all it is. They're good teams. And I tell you what, I always say this. There are a lot more teams around the country who would love to be in this tournament. And so, you know, whether it's seeding or not. And so I don't really get involved with seeding. I knew we were going to play a good team, and that's why I ran out there and took that bus last night instead of taking that flight, because it didn't matter who we were going to play.
Speaking of that, it's Ron Hunter, guys, joining us here on Dukes and Bell, head basketball coach at Georgia State. They are dancing. Tournament starts on Thursday, as you know, one of the most exciting events in the sporting world, and covering Final Fours over my years. I absolutely love this time of year. How did you guys find out about the tournament and your seeding and who you were playing?
Sometimes I think I'm crazy. I really do. I know my wife thinks I'm crazy, but
what's going on?
Well, because after the game, we cut the nets down, everything's going perfect, and I decide, man, let's just get on a bus and let's have a party bus and let's just drive back to Atlanta. Let's get some food, let's get happy, blah, blah, blah. Everybody says, yeah, coach, let's do it. So we get on there to find out the TVs don't show CBS. So we're driving down the highway from Louisiana, and Mike Holmes is here. He said, coach, in 10 minutes, they're going to tell us who the pairings are. So I told the bus driver, I said, listen, stop at the first truck stop that has a television. So we can go in. He said, Coach, we're just across the Mississippi border. Oh, there's a truck stop 3 miles. So I said, pull in there. We pull into the truck stop on a bus. Now, I got all these kids from Atlanta City, guys. We pull in this little truck stop in Mississippi. There was a bar right at the truck stop called, what's it called? The Red Zone.
Oh, that sounds welcoming.
The Red Zone. So I walk in there. There are 8 guys in the bar, probably between ages 75 and 95. I walk in, tall, 6'4", nice-looking black guy, and they look at me and say, can we help you? I said, listen, I don't know. I got a basketball team, and I just want a TV so we can see. And the guy looked at me, and he said, sure, you the coach? I said, yeah. So I brought my guys in. My guys wouldn't get off the bus. I said, guys, I'm telling you, it's okay.
It's not Mississippi burning. Like, we just want to see the TV.
So I said,
I'm not going, coach.
So I had to pull. I got them off the bus. We get in here. All of a sudden, the guy turns on the CBS. Oh, we had about 35, 40 people. They come in. They get in this little bitty bar. We're hugging these 85-year-old men. Oh, my God. And all of a sudden, it said that we're playing Houston. We start hugging these guys. They didn't know what was going on. It was one of the best experiences I had in my life. So I took the guy's card, and I told him, I wish I could fly him there to the game with him. I'm going to send him a jersey and some stuff. But it was those guys just stared at us. And so when we were pulling off, they walked outside the bar, and they were just waving goodbye to us. And it was so funny because I'm leaving, and the owner comes by. He said, now, what school are you with, coach?
Who are those guys?
That's a great story, man. That's a great story.
Ron Hunter. So that's how the kids found out.
That's how they found out,
who
man.
They were playing and what seat.
A truck stop in Mississippi.
God. Truck stop in Mississippi, man. My guy literally, coach, I ain't getting off this bus. I said, man, it's okay. They said, there's no security. I said, we don't need security. We're fine, man.
I love it. The kids are like, man, I'm not going. Oh, that's great. All right, coach, as we talk about this tournament, and obviously everybody's talking about, you know, the one seeds, and you go into this, and I think that you go in relaxed, right? You go in.
With house money, right?
Yeah, right? Yeah. I don't know what the expectation is. You just said it. The expectation was, can you win the Sun Belt again and get back? You've done it 2 years in a row. Let's go have some fun.
Yeah. You know, really, it's always all about that. But more importantly with this group is that I'm going to enjoy this one more because it won't be their first time. A lot of times when the players are first time, I want them to enjoy the experience. And they may never get back. You can never take these things for granted. Now we've gone back now. Again, there'll be a little more serious tone about the preparation. I'll probably keep the media away a little bit more. But I'm still going to let because these are seniors. All these guys, for instance, they're all gone. I do want them to enjoy the moment. Even in practice, when we kind of met today, you could just tell it was a little more business-like experience about it. They all believe they can beat Houston, although they know Houston's a good team, that we're going to play somebody. But again, I think more than important what helped us is that we've now beaten Alabama. We've now beaten a Georgia. We've gone to some places and we've beaten teams that people said we couldn't beat. So again, I think that we're going to be ready.
And the good news is you got two working knees. Remember last time when you beat Baylor, you had you on the scooter and your knee was all jacked up, falling off the chair and all that?
But you know what? I got to say this. I love when I come in here. There's about a block from here. When I first took the job at Georgia State, I didn't know anything about it. And on the first day, I had lunch with a friend of mine. And I'll never forget this. Right on the corner here, And I won't call this guy out. He said, Coach, do not take the Georgia State job. You will never get him to the NCAA tournament. I'm a friend of yours. Do not take this job. Now, I hope he's listening, and I love this dude. But, man, I'm not one of those dudes that said, I told you so. I'm not. But I just looked to my left, and I saw that little cafe that we had lunch in.
Right?
I love when somebody tell me that I can't do something. You know, and so I didn't want to go off kilter there. But I just
You told Brian Gregory, mind his own business, right?
How you doing? I love that shirt you got on, man.
You're right. And you know what? You have done it. I tweeted this out yesterday. Ron Hunter in studio with this guy. Falcon Report's on the way. But Ron Hunter, I tweeted this out. The best basketball program in the state is Georgia State men's basketball program, period. And I'm going to let you marinate on that for a moment. And it got hundreds of likes because I think people are finally paying attention to what's going on. So congratulations.
Well, thank you.
We wish you nothing but the best. We'll be watching and cheering you guys on. And let's go have some fun, man.
Oh, well, come on, man. You know me. We're going to have some fun. So, and you know how much I appreciate you guys. You guys have been great to us all year and definitely appreciate you. And let's keep doing this thing. And let's come back next week at this time and we'll be talking about Sweet 16.
There we go.
Right
there
on.
He is. Ron Hunter.
Man.
Great story, Coach.
All right, thanks, guys.
That's too funny.
Kids will never forget
Coach,
that.
I get off the bus, Coach.
It'll be 25 years. They'll be like, you remember that time Coach stopped in Mississippi? All right, coming up, Falcon Report. It's on the way. Also, our strong arm story of the day, guys. Speaking of the tournament, Mike and I will break down what we think. It's all on the way.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.